We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. And reminder before we get started, if you want tickets to the next home games or the rest of the home games for men's and women's basketball, 1-800-GO-BEARS, and of course the website calbears.com for all your information. Joining us, first of all, head coach Mark Fox. Congratulations and happy birthday belatedly for you as well. We won't ask how many candles you had to blow out, but a pretty good birthday present given to you by your team this past weekend. Wins over both Washington State and Washington. Where did you see the biggest growth in this team this last weekend to kind of push you over the hump?
Well, I thought that against against Washington, it's as complete of a game as we played, where we were good on both ends for, you know, really an extended amount of minutes, and in a game that went into overtime, you know, we didn't play 45 good minutes, but we played a lot of good minutes, much more than we have had previously, and so certainly to see the consistency was progress for our team, because we had to beat a good team, you know, and to beat good teams, you have to play well at both ends, and you have to play well for most of the game, and it was really good to see our team do that.
You always talk about defensive efficiency. This last weekend, how did that grade out?
Well, our defense really graded out pretty well. It was really a good performance by our team, and you know, you, in high level games, you know, you have to get stops to win. And with our offensive team, you know, we're going to have to win with great defense, because we're not. It just takes a long time to become great offensively, and you need to have a lot of firepower and a number of different guys who can score. And we don't quite have that, so we have to be great defensively. And you know, I thought that really in both games that against the Washington schools, that our defense was a significant part of the reasons we won.
You did a good job on Ellabik, held him somewhat in check, and beat the Cougars. And then when you look at the Washington team, I guess it starts with Isaiah Stewart. I mean, the guy's a man-child. I mean, you're going to see some big guys that are good in this league, but that guy's a really special player. and you frustrated him. You double-teamed him at times with different people at times as well, kept him off balance, and forced them to score from the perimeter, which has not been their strength this year.
Well, I think early, maybe their first four or five baskets were 3-point shots, but that's what we wanted to. We knew we were going to have to give something up because, you know, we're at a physical mismatch. We have smaller guys, and in every game we're going to be at a physical mismatch. And so as we scheme to try and stop people, we have to give up something to stop something else. Mm-hmm. And in that particular game, we decided to give up some 3-point looks, and early they made us pay. And they made some 3-point shots, but over the course of the game, you know, I think it obviously worked in our favor. But you know, they have a very talented team and a team that, from a physical standpoint, it can be very imposing. And that's why the discipline and the consistency that we showed for 45 minutes was something we were pleased with.
You got a good weekend from a number of players, but we'll start first of all with the Pac-12 Player of the Week, Matt Bradley. He's been pretty consistent all year long, double figures every game but one against Duke when he had 7 points. He had a career-high 26 on Thursday night and then comes back and makes the shot at the end of the game to give you the victory over Washington. Talk about his performance this week and what you've seen, the growth that you've seen through 16 games so far this year.
I think, Matt, I go back to the start of practice, and I really felt like that, you know, as I had gotten to know Matt over the summer, that you know, he needs to be driven. We can all only reach a certain height by ourselves. You have to be pushed to get to the higher levels, and Matt needs to be driven to get there, and so we've really tried to drive him through practices to compete every drill and to play super hard and to understand the next stage of the game mentally and how to analyze what's happening on the court and how to react, and to his credit, you know, that's allowed him to have a great success to start the year. But you can also get comfortable when you have consistent success, and I didn't think that you know, he didn't shoot it well in a couple games right around the new year, and so I really charged him to practice better going into the Washington games, and to his credit, he did, and you know, he was rewarded for really great preparation, and you love to see a kid when you challenge him and when he works hard for him to find accomplishment, and he certainly earned the award this week, and we're really proud of him.
And that was one of the reasons why he left his high school in San Bernardino to go to Wasatch Academy. I mean, he was scoring 40 points a game at his first high school, and he wanted to be challenged at Wasatch, not only in games but in practices as well. And so he came in here, you know, kind of a little more prepared in that regard, and it's been fun to watch him get better and get consistency, knowing each and every night. I mean, let's face it, when teams are going to scout the Bears, he's number one on the scouting chart, I would think, right?
Well, he's you write on the grease board, you know, with these dry erase markers, and you know, the top guy up there is the one you want to stop. Well, they're writing his name up there in a Sharpie. I mean, it's permanent ink, you know, for the year. I mean, that's who people are going to try and stop. And for him to remain productive has really been it's really been good for our team and good for him. And but it's only going to get harder, and he's going to have to continue to learn the intricacies of our system and how to take advantage of it and remain productive and efficient. And to this point, he's done that, and I think the if he can remain consistent, it will continue to allow some openings for other players, and then the guys can start playing off of Matt, and that'll be the next step for us.
One of the guys that has the ability to do that, Grant Antizovic. And Grant, you put him in the middle of that zone that Washington employs, and he would catch. He missed a couple early, but in the second half, he kind of forced them to change what they were doing because he was getting that free throw line jump shot, and he was knocking it down over Stewart, who did not want to come out, and then hit the short corner jumper as well. He's been in double figures, I think, 3 straight games. Here's another guy for people that have watched the Bears over the last couple. He has really improved. He seems to be playing with confidence. He seems to, for the most part, make good decisions. What have you seen from Grant?
I think Grant, I didn't study a lot of what happened here in previous years because I wanted to have a clear perception of each kid. But, you know, he has, from everyone's reports, really improved. I know his production has certainly changed. But I think he carries himself with a confidence. But again, it goes back to a very strategic plan in the summer about how we could train him, how we could get better, and then transferring those things into a system where he's able to utilize his terrific shooting touch. And then once the kid has found success, you know, I think they can develop a confidence, because he genuinely is a good shooter. And so if he takes the right shots, he's going to be able to make them. And obviously against Washington, he was able to get some open mid-range shots, and he made a lot of them. And hopefully he can build on that performance, because we needed every one of them.
At the other end, Thursday night, he's on C.J. Ellaby, one of the premier scorers in this league. And then you put him on Jaden McDaniel, who's probably going to be a lottery pick with that 6'9", that length. So defensively, he's accepted the challenge as well.
Well, he has. The C.J. Ellaby experiment didn't work out as well as we had hoped, and we had to switch him off of that. But Grant really is a mobile player, and he's an intelligent player. And so, you know, because we have mismatches with our smaller lineup, you know, his versatility as a defender is important for us, and he hasn't shied away from playing on that end either.
Done a nice job. Paris Austin had a good weekend. Good to see him back with confidence in the shot, making better decisions as well. You're a little shorthanded last week. Juwan Harris-Dyson with a wrist hand injury. Jacoby Gordon was unavailable. Be nice to get those guys back ASAP to give yourself some depth, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't think that we have major injuries. Obviously, Jacoby's had two significant injuries that quite frankly, will impact his quality of life because you've had two violent injuries. You know, that's hard to overcome, and so I feel really for Jacoby dealing with all that he's trying to deal with. He's working hard to try and come back and play. I think that the one thing that we have been fortunate to find with maybe because it's been forced, but you know, some of those guys, you know, 2K has Kwani has been able to get some minutes, and I thought has had good minutes, and we'll be able to build off of that experience. DJ Thorpe has continued to get more and more comfortable, and so we're not very deep, and we are a little banged up, but some of those young freshmen are starting to make a little progress, and we're going to need them to contribute if we can, you know, if we think we can stay the course here for the rest of the year.
Well, this weekend in particular with the UCLA and USC, both those teams, you know, big, physical, powerful front lines. Thorpe, he doesn't seem to back down. I mean, he's got the wide body, so he looks like he's ready to go. It's just a matter of can he be in the right spot at the right time, I suppose. But when you go to USC and even UCLA with Riley and Hill, those two young guys are going to be important.
Well, I think that when we go to LA, obviously USC has a great front line, and we're going to need the depth of our front line to really, you know, withstand the level of talent. I'm not sure that the big kid from SC is not the most talented guy we've seen yet. I mean, he really, and I don't want to butcher his name, so I won't attempt to say it, but he's longer than Vernon Carey at Duke. He's a quick jumper. He's got really good offensive skills. I mean, he'll be another guy that'll be a, if he decides to leave school, will be a first-round pick. And so I think SC has a great front line. And if you look, past SC to UCLA, there's talent up front there also. And the Hills kid, the Hill kid, his dad played for me years ago. And,
oh, really?
So his dad's been texting me for about the last, 10 months about, what he was going to do. So hopefully we can play well.
I hope so, too. You got to have some bragging rights when you're going against the parents like that, no question about it. Well, you had a good week. You take the team on the road, and I guess in some respects, second major road trip. You went to New York with the crew. This one's, you got some of the kids have more familiarity. You got parents there. You've got friends, relatives. And players can handle that in different ways. Sometimes the level of play goes up. Sometimes they try to do too much. Do you talk about that at all, or just let it play out?
Well, I have not been pleased at all with our approach to playing away from our own building. And it's not just the players. I think everybody has to have the right mentality when you travel with your team. And that's something that I've been a little bit frustrated with, because the mentality within the team, it has to spread throughout the entire operation. And the flow of it goes both ways. And if I went down to go on vacation, my players would sense it, you know. And they need to know that we're going down with the goal of accomplishing some things. And the game itself is no different. You know, it's at home or away. You have to play complete basketball. You have to take care of it. You have to defend. You have to play together offensively. And because it's still 5-on-5 in between the lines. And I think if you can stay poised with those simple facts, that you give yourself a chance to play good basketball and give yourself a chance to win away from home. But if your mind is not in the right place, you have no shot to play effective basketball. And so, you know, we need to see some progress in the mentality that we have away from home.
One final question. You got an extra day in L.A. How do you keep the players? I mean, you do anything extra? They go anywhere? Or do you do something as a group? Because you got, you know, both Friday and Saturday, and you'll have practices at both. But without school being in session, there's like a lot of extra time.
Well, the one thing that I think is probably good for us is that we are changing hotels while we're down there, and because of traffic, half the day will be eaten up just getting back and forth. So, but it'll also give us a chance to get our legs back underneath us, and downtime is okay. You know, downtime is okay. I mean, these guys, they live a pretty packed schedule during the semester, and having some downtime and not filling it up with something, that's okay. And it gives them a chance to mentally decompress and physically rest. And so, you know, we won't do a lot of stuff other than try and prepare to play.
Next week, of course, class begins again, so that schedule will be more compact. Appreciate it, Coach, and we'll see you down at the Galen Center on Thursday.
All right, thank you. Go Bears.
Time to talk a little gymnastics now. Women's gymnastics team started the season ranked once again in the top 10. They're off to a terrific start already, and they got some big meets coming up with the Stanford coming to Haas Pavilion, as Bears have already seen Stanford twice, I guess it is, right? There was a big meet down south, and then last week the NorCal Classic, where the Bears finished third in a four-team field that was loaded to the gills a couple of weeks ago. When you saw Oklahoma, UCLA, and you guys took third in that meet. So good showing. And we're joined by Kiana George, correct?
Yes.
Kiana.
Kiana
George. Appreciate you being with us. You're a junior from McKinney, Texas, and you're on a team that is loaded. And this has been the last 3, 4, 5 years you've seen the women's gymnastics team just increase and get better and better each and every year. First of all, to start with, why, when you were coming out of high school, Cal was the place that you felt was best suited to your future?
Well, I chose Cal because just from my club coaches, we really sat down and really thought about the pros and the cons of different colleges. But when it came to coming to this school, it's a great university for academics, obviously. But the program is just the meaning of getting one day better, and like it being not just one day better in the gym, but one day better in life. And that's just something I also live by. So that would be a great fit.
Well, it has been a good fit, and you guys are off to a good start. Give us the capsulized version of the season that started a couple of weeks ago.
The season's actually starting off really well. Just from us having our freshmen coming in, they've really stepped up and been able to be put in the lineups, especially Nev, which is also another all-arounder. Mm-hmm. It's just been great having everyone there. And I would just say, like, we've all just grind and mm-hmm. pushed so hard in the gym this year that we've been more prepared than we've ever been in the past. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's saying a lot, because this team, is, as we mentioned, has been a top 20 team for the last couple of years. So the continuity has really taken fold. The recruiting is increased, and the scores are going up. All right, this last week, NorCal Classic, you won the all-around people not familiar with gymnastics, what's that mean? That means you compete in all four events, and you score the highest in the combined cumulative score of all four of those events. Is there any one event that you like more than the others, or any one event that you say, well, I'm kind of taking this one for the team, or do you just like them all?
I'd say I just love competing on all the events, okay. But floor would be my favorite just because I just like to look out into the crowd and to my teammates and just smile and show my personality.
That's a big deal with the floor as opposed to the other events. I mean, the other events, the vault, it's pretty, you run down the runway and you scored really well, actually, in that event. This last week, you got the highest possible score in your particular skill in that event. But the floor is the one where the personality really comes out, it seems. And you see that this is going to be an Olympic year, so people will obviously get a chance to once again revisit that great floor exercise around the world. The smile, just the hand gesticulations, I mean, all of that. I mean, just you do get to show your personality, right?
Yes, I just always loved floor ever since I was little, honestly.
That's where everybody starts, right? You start on the floor.
You really do. I mean, just growing up, I've always had lots of fear, but I guess, being able to go onto the floor and become a different person, I would say, it's just helped me a lot, and it's also helps me connect with, the crowd, and it's just an amazing feeling, yeah.
Because that's the one event where people get behind it in the crowd. I mean, they clap and and there's music, okay? In the other three events, you're not going to have music except the music that somebody else is playing for their floor exercise. So it's a little bit of acting, showmanship.
Yeah.
I guess that just comes natural for you, right?
I would say so. I guess I'm just kind of a really bubbly person. So when I get to go out there, it's just another time for me to smile all the time, especially since on the other events, it's very just being focused and me talking to myself rather than on floor. I have my teammates cheering me on, and it's not that I'm not hearing them on the other events, but it's more kind of I get to just enjoy the moment rather than really being focused in the details. Yeah.
So in women's gymnastics, you have the floor exercise, you got the uneven bars, which a lot of people like because there's the swinging between the two bars, and that can be kind of exciting at times. You've got a balance beam, which is everybody needs to be silent. It's like a mouse at work. Everybody is silent during the beam because it's such a small margin for error. And then the vault, which is the quickest, down the runway, and there you go. I want to know, during the course of the year, you're going to train for all four of those exercises, those events. Do you maintain the same routine all year long, between now and hopefully the NCAAs, or do you tweak during the course of the year? How does that work? Or are you just trying to refine what you do? You pick a routine, this is what I'm going to do, and refine it, or do you make changes?
I would say starting from freshman year, we've been refining and changing my routines to make them as best as they can be. I would say this year I started off the year knowing exactly what my routines were going to be. And just pushing myself to be perfect in those rather than, I would say last year was very trying to find my footing and what makes me comfortable, what's making my body hurt, not hurt. But I say this year it was a great start in towards my coaches with understanding what fits me best.
I was gonna say there has to be that relationship because in gymnastics, all four of the routines have a degree of difficulty, okay? And they can change. You can be really good, but with an easy exercise and not score very high. What you want to be is pick out the most difficult routine and get the highest score because you do get additional benefit with difficulty. So how do you balance that?
I would say, honestly, each gymnast is just different. Naturally, I'm a front twister on floor, for people that don't understand that. But I would say back tumbling has always, not really been my strong suit. But I would say you just kind of find what comes easy in being able to, like, do skills. Like, I'm more of a leap and a turn, and so I can get my difficulty from there rather than tumbling, because tumbling isn't my strong suit. I'd say the same thing goes to beam. I would say I also rely on my leaps and my turns to give me the difficulty and the bonus that I need to score as high. But yeah.
Also, there are mandatory requirements within each routine as well. So you have to, I guess, start with those. You got to be good at those and then branch out from there and add the degree of difficulty and the excitement level as well. Talk about, you know, as you look at, I mean, this conference for women's gymnastics is like the best, okay? Because you've got year after year, Cal, Stanford, UCLA, Utah, Oregon State. I mean, we can go right down the line. What is it like night in and night out, knowing that as a collective group and an individual as well, you have to be really good because the team you're competing against is more than likely a top 20 team?
I would say especially this year as a team, it's not us looking at the competition and wanting to be better than them, but more of pushing ourselves in the gym and wanting to be better than the person next to me. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I always look for the person that I know is probably better than me on an event, and I push myself to be as good as they are, because then constantly I'm working myself to be better overall. But yeah, I don't really tend to look towards other teams, but at the same time, I do like to look at, like, stats and see what we're going up against. But honestly, I feel like especially this year as a team, all of us are able to go out there and push ourselves and be able to compete with those top teams and not really kind of be scared in, like, little – I don't know how to say that.
I mean, gymnastics is a – it's an individual sport within the team concept.
Yeah.
It's not like basketball or football where you have to line up against somebody or go against somebody and you find out who's best. In the case of gymnastics and some of the other sports, you have to do the best you can, and then when the final numbers add up, it is what it is, right?
Yes, even though it is an individual sport, I would say I rely on my teammates throughout all the events, especially I would say on beam, just having my teammate Cassidy. She talks to me before I go, so she makes me realize that it's just one skill at a time, to remind me of my keywords so I don't get overwhelmed, and just being able to have those certain people on each event to pep talk us or to remind us of keywords that we can use to put out our best performance. I would say that's how we still work together as a team, even though we're out there by ourselves.
And then at the end of the year, they compile the scores, and it's a little complicated how they figure out who goes to the NCAA regionals, both individually and collectively as a team. But the better you are and the more consistent you are during the course of the year, the better the chance you have of going back to regionals and hopefully the NCAAs as well. Of course, the Bears Sunday will host Stanford at 4 o'clock here at Haas Pavilion. This is a terrific home schedule because you'll host Stanford. Then on Saturday, February the 8th, you'll host Utah. 2 weeks after that, February the 22nd, you'll host Oregon State. Pac-12s are going to be in the state of Utah, so you'll know you're going to have a very vocal, enthusiastic crowd at Utah. For a while, Utah gymnastics, the women's gymnastics program, which has been good for a long, long time, they were actually, they would have more fans at their meets than the men's basketball team. And, I mean, they'll have upwards of 14 or 15,000. What's it like? What's the energy like when you get in that kind of an atmosphere?
It's crazy, honestly, at Utah. My first time competing there, you could feel when the crowd was cheering, you could just feel the vibrations, especially on beam. You would just feel like the beam shake. It was kind of crazy. But honestly, I loved it a lot, especially on, like, our power events, which are, like, vault and floor. I'd say beam, naturally, I kind of zone out, and so I don't hear any noise during my beam routine until I land. But, yeah, it was just so amazing just to see all of them out there, all the kids and everyone. Yeah. And also, I would say it's a really good crowd, very respectful, cheering on good gymnastics. They are not really, you know, just cheering on Utah, but they just enjoy the sport.
Yeah,
they appreciate a good performance, yeah. And that's what that fan base is like in gymnastics. It's different in football and basketball, I'll tell you that. they don't cheer for the visitors, that's for sure. The Bears, number 9 in the preseason poll, 3rd in the Pac-12 poll because of UCLA and Utah, slightly ahead of the Bears. But 3 out of 4 years in the top 10 in the preseason. That shows consistency, and it shows respect that Cal Gymnastics has gotten around the country. That's for sure. This last week, you're assigned a certain event as a team to start. Okay, if it's a 4-team meet, then everybody's kind of going at once. If it's a 2-team duel, then there's 2 events going on and 2 that are not. But this last week on the floor, tough start for the Bears. You had to count a fall. But how does a team rebound, and why were you able to respond from that and then go on and win the team championship?
I would say, honestly, after floor, we just all went to vault, gathered all of our thoughts, really just said to forget about that event. We still have 3 more events to go, and we know that we're very consistent on those other 3 events. So we were just like, we have nothing to lose. And on vault, we just went out there and we put out our best performance as we did. Yeah.
And got the win as a result. Where did you first pick up gymnastics? Where did that start?
I would say when I was about 2 years old.
2?
Yeah. I'd say 2 years old, I was kind of just like flipping around a lot on like the couch and the bed. But yeah. But I started like competing at 5 years old. Yeah, and then I would say at Metroplex Gymnastics is where I kind of like broke out of my shell and realized that I was good at the sport, because I'd say for the longest time I let my fear kind of hold me back. It took a lot of coaches to help me realize that I'm better than I think I am, especially just me. When I was younger, I would just tell myself I'm someone else. I'd say now I kind of still do that, but yeah.
Well, it's got to the point now where you are one of the best. You are the Pac-12 Gymnast of the Week. Congratulations on that honor, and good luck this week against the Stanford Cardinal. It's always a big rivalry, and you see them a lot because of the number of, or not as many programs in gymnastics as maybe some of the other sports, so you get a good look at them throughout the course of the year. But it's always a big meet, Haas Pavilion, 4 o'clock. Okay, Anna, I appreciate you taking the time. Stay healthy. Good luck. And come out of your shell at some point in time, will you? You're so reserved.
Thank you.
Women's gymnastics at home against Stanford. And keep in mind, they'll have Utah here in February, also Oregon State here as well. So come out and support a really, really outstanding gymnastics program. All right, that wraps it up for this week. Bear in mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A reminder, we'll be on the air for men's basketball this week. We got at the Galen Center on Thursday night, and then at Poly Pavilion Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. So you can watch some of the Niners game and flip over and maybe watch some of the Bears or listen to us on the radio, and you don't have to worry about missing any of the action at all. Appreciate Mark Fox stopping by. And, of course, until next week, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much for listening. And, as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.